You're very welcome back. You're listening to News Talk 106 to 108. You can touch the show by texting us here on 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. A growing number of us are now concerned with where our clothes come from and how they're made. Sustainable fashion is something we have always done very well here in Ireland, from Donegal tweeds to Dingle linens. Now we can add silk to that. The ethical silk company's ethos is based on a business philosophy that puts the human factor first. Well, isn't that wonderful? Eva Power, the founder of Ethical Silk Company, joins me in studio now. Welcome to Global Village.
Thanks very much.
So, Eva, tell me your story. How did you, get interested in ethical silk?
I kind of fell into it. I have family in India, so my aunt's been living there for
Where?
She's in Chennai.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful part of India.
Yeah, so she's been there for 50 years now.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so growing up, whenever she'd come home, she'd bring back a special gift of silk. So we were sort of used to having some silk in the house. Or my mum would have silk scarves.
And beautiful colours.
Absolutely, yeah. Really, really nice. Really, really pretty. So my mum used to sleep with a silk scarf around her pillow.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
Yeah, she just had one of her scarves and she just used to sleep on it because she said it was really good for your skin and really good for your hair. And she remembers that my grandmother would wear a silk scarf around her hair in the house if she was just going around the house or just gotten her hair done. So she encouraged myself and my sister to do the same. And then pretty much as a side project, I decided to look into...
How is silk made?
Yeah, I started looking into producing silk pillowcases. And by chance, researching it, I watched a documentary on silk production and I saw how regular silk is made. And
please tell our listeners, because it was a shock to me. And I'm so glad I don't own any silk. And if I own silk, I'll make sure it's ethical silk. So tell our listeners how it's made.
Well, in regular silk production, the silkworms are boiled alive inside their cocoons in order to extract the silk thread. So essentially, they're just put into a big vat of boiling water and the silk cocoon, which is the silk thread, is unraveled. And they'll get 500 metres of silk thread per cocoon. But you actually see them just like bubbling, like bouncing around in the water. So anyway, I just wanted to look to see if there was an alternative. And I found this one guy in India, in Hyderabad, who makes this eco-friendly mulberry silk. So what his production, what they do is they wait until the silkworm, it makes its cocoon around itself and then it goes through its metamorphosis. So it turns into a moth and then it pierces a hole in the cocoon and it leaves. Discarding the cocoon. Yeah. So they just work then with the
discarded... They leave the gaff, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And then they just work... They work then with the discarded cocoon. But as a result of this hole in the cocoon that the moth has made, instead of having one continuous thread, you have lots of broken threads.
Oh,
so
okay.
There's like... It's more...
Laborious.
Laborious, exactly. So all these little broken threads have to be spun together in order to get a silk thread. And then this is then what's woven. So it is more laborious and you don't get as much of a yield, but you do get the silk. It's not the satiny finish. It's got more, I don't know, like a matte luster. It's beautiful. So I just got in contact with him. I saw some samples and I just fell in love with it. Yeah, so yeah, it's gorgeous.
What a wonderful story.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, by chance. So I started working with him and then for the production, it was important to me that I always worked with ethical units. Just that's my own. If I'm going to do something, I just need to be able to stand above it. So,
because you have to look at yourself in the mirror at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've always just partnered with ethical tailoring units, and we've moved a couple, but we work with a fair trade tailoring unit in Jaipur now. So yeah, so it started as a side project, and then I just sort of started getting return customers and
music to my ears, Eva, because I don't know if you know this, I was practically born under a sewing machine.
Yeah, okay.
Both my parents were in the garment industry.
Okay.
We had factories where we had hundreds of people working, and although my parents were good employers, I'm very familiar of how, places like Sri Lanka, India, Bangladesh, you have people, working for nothing and, massive factories just collapsing on people and all that. So it's just great to see someone like yourself in Ireland who is, decided to set up a company and be ethical from the start and then joining up with other ethical workers in places like India? Because I'd say there's people out there, like the chap you were saying where was it you said?
My producer?
Your producer.
He's in Hyderabad.
Yeah, Hyderabad. You know, maybe, you know, he might not have that much business room. People might not come to him looking for this type of silk, because the fact is that chances there are hundreds more who would provide probably the silk for half the price.
Oh, absolutely.
You're actually giving him... you're making his business sustainable.
Yeah. I'd be his biggest customer now, and he's great. We're on the same page, and we're both equally want. You know, as my business does well, his business does well.
And then you have someone in Jaipur as well who's working.
The Jaipur unit are amazing. They do block printing by hand. They're really, really, like, they're fantastic. So I go out and visit all the units. I've been there a few times now to visit each unit. And as much as you can do things remotely, and email and Skype are great, it's really nice being able to go back and meet people, you know, again and again.
So let's talk about the fair trade tailoring unit in Jaipur. Tell us a little bit about that, because again, this is something I've used to talk about a lot on the show, because I think people, you know, fair trade coffee, fair trade chocolate, you know, we're becoming aware of that, but very few of us think about fair trade.
The clothing,
tailoring.
I know, and it's
clothing has become so disposable.
Exactly, I know, and that's where the real shame is, because when you do hear of the conditions that a lot of garments are tailored in, and it's all for the sake of a piece of clothing or top or something that might cost, you know, €7, €10, which essentially might only be worn a handful of times and end up ultimately in landfill. And then the people who are actually tailoring it are getting paid like not even a living wage, and working 16 hours a day and in horrendous circumstances. So anyway, I just always wanted to work with a fair trade and ethical unit. So the unit in Jaipur are brilliant. It's run by an American lady who's grown up in India, so she speaks Hindi, and they just have a really nice unit, and they also do block printing by hand, where each print, it's carved onto a piece of wood and then block printed by hand using like low impact dyes. So it's from start to finish, it's a lovely unit.
Incredible. And speaking of which, tell me about hashtag Who Made My Clothes.
Well, Who Made My Clothes came about, it started from the fashion revolution, which started after the Rana Plaza tragedy in Bangladesh in 2013. Now the workers' treatment in garment factories is going on decades and decades.
It only became, people became aware of it because of Rana Plaza. That's
exactly
one good thing that came out of
exactly
that.
Exactly, yeah. And I think 1,033 people died when it collapsed. And so the Fashion Revolution started. So each year they have Fashion Revolution Day, and what they just want people to do is to start asking brands and supply chains, like, who made my clothes? So people actually become more aware of where their clothes are made. Under what conditions is important as well, and essentially what you're paying for, where your money's going to.
Fantastic. And of course, as if all this is not enough, the fact that you use ethical silk, ethical tailoring, as a company, you also donate 10% of your profits to charity, and you split your time between India and Ireland.
We pledged to give 10% of profits to charity.
That's incredible.
It is. I mean, it's small now, but it gets bigger, a little bigger each year. So I decided when the first tailoring unit we started working with, it was in a town called Thani in Tamil Nadu in South India.
Oh, wow. It was really close to Sri Lanka. My goodness.
It's run by the Presentation Sisters, and they have this AIDS centre there called the Jeevan Jyothi AIDS Hospice. And I visited it when I was over there, and I just saw how little money they have, genuinely how much tireless work they do there. It was amazing. And just actually seeing a hospital run on so little. So anyway, I just wanted to give a certain amount to India and or to a charity in India. And after I'd been there, it really stuck with me. And then in Ireland, I've always supported Focus Ireland. I think they do amazing work. So I decided to split it 50-50. It's been small as the years go, but it's increasing little by little each year. So
no, it's brilliant, because you're not only just giving back here, but you're giving back also there, which is, in fairness, the money would go that much further in a place.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. And they're great. Here. They send me like quarterly reports of how they, you know, what they do, what work they've done, and just the recap of what's going on in the last few months. So I really appreciate that as well.
So incredible backstory, yours and the company's. But exactly what do you produce, and where can people get their hands on your stuff? Because I can't wait now to actually have a look at the stuff, because I can see myself from now onwards only I shall only wear silk.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not too dissimilar from your relatives.
The products we do, we started off doing silk pillowcases. That's
okay.
That's the backbone of the company. I know.
Still in a pillowcase, and I'm going to look too pretty. But yeah,
yeah, it sounds so luxurious, but it's really practical. And also, we sell.
Oh, come on, it's lovely. It's luxury.
Beautiful, well, and it's a lovely gift as
imagine
well.
Imagine your head resting on silk.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something people have for years. Silk's a really hard wearing fabric. If you look after it, it does last for years and years. And we do cot sheets for babies as well, which is
perfect. What a wonderful gift.
Yeah, because
I might need one of those in August. Okay.
Yeah. Because a lot of people know, because let's say silk's good for your skin and your hair, but it's a natural temperature regulator, so it cools you down if you're too hot, warms you up if you're too cold. So it's
people who ski wear silk
thermals and theirs. It, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then in recent years, in the last 2 years, we've expanded into loungewear, so silk robes, pants, slips, tops, stuff like that.
Subliminally, I'm going to say the word suits. Think of men's suits.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I can come to you and get all my suits for you.
Yeah. I'm getting there slowly but slowly.
Very good. Yeah. So website where people can go?
The website, we only sell online in order to keep the prices down because it is eco-friendly and fair trade made. So the website is www.theethicalsilkco.com.
Fantastic. So yeah. Eva Power, the founder of Ethical Silk Company, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
and
for having me.
Inspirational story, because I think, as I said, we have now Donegal tweeds, Dingle linens, and now we have Ethical Silk in Ireland. Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.